It's time to think big with Big Alaska Guest, Big Alaska Adventures, and No Good Lying Through Your Tooth, Tall Alaska Tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com. With podcasts streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com, I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. The Director of Education for the Iditarod Trail Committee, Jane Holmes, joins us. Joining Jane is the 2023 Iditarod Teacher on the Trail, Julie Westrich. Plus our science guy, Dr. Gordon Snyder, joins us. Designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
And good morning. Welcome to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve, along with co-host Mike Ford, who's off today. The reason he's off is because Mike is the broadcast voice of the World Championship dog sled races that are part of the Fur Rendezvous, or Fur Rondi, as locals call it. The Fur Rondi is an annual cabin fever reliever that takes place over about 10 days and harkens back to many decades ago when fur traders would come into town to trade and auction their furs. And because winters are so doggone dark and long, Alaskans are looking for anything to break up the monotony. So they made a big party out of it. And today it's more popular than ever. It's packed with tons of festive things to do. But the World Championship dog sled races are a major part of it. The race is a 26-mile course that mushers will do 3 days in a row. And Mike Ford will be covering the race and broadcasting it and streaming it as well. We'll post the links in the podcast of today's show on our website at BigAlaskaShow.com. The Fur Rondi also dovetails into the Iditarod, so for the next 2 weeks, the Big Alaska Show is going to be all about the Fur Rondi and the Iditarod. Now, today's show centers around the education that comes from the Iditarod. Our guests include Jane Holmes, the Director of Education of the Iditarod Trail Committee, and she has a major Iditarod educational conference coming up February 28th through March 3rd at the Lakefront Hotel in Anchorage. The Iditarod education outreach to young people is amazing. Joining Jane will be the 2023 Teacher of the Trail, Julie Westrich, from the great state of New York, who will follow the race all the way to Nome. And Julie will post blogs along the way so her students and students from around the world will learn about the Iditarod, just as Julie will be learning. And then to keep the educational theme going, we've asked our science guy, Dr. Gordon Snyder, to join us and share some scientific observations about the dogs. And in dealing with Mike Ford and me, Gordon knows he's dealing with our sixth grade mentalities and speaks a language even we can follow. Anyway, we have a packed, fun show. Of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way. Folks, the key to doing a morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for broadcasters. Face it, just getting up in Alaska is a chore. In the winter, there's not enough sun, and in the summer, there's too much sun. Either creates a condition not conducive to getting out of bed, much less flapping one's pie hole for an hour on a radio show. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed pile, and lips vibrate like a 440 tuning fork, and pie holes flap like a duck wing taking off. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
It's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup, I can't get enough for that Big Alaska Show Blend.
And that's how we roll here at the Big Alaska Show. But stick around, we have more Big Alaska Show coming up. And you can hear our show streamed and get podcast at BigAlaskaShow.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve and with good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. I caught up with our guest, Jane Holmes, the Director of Education of the Iditarod Trail Committee, and joining her is Julie Westrich, the 2023 Teacher on the Trail. The education that comes from the Iditarod is cutting edge, and the educational outreach to students and educators is second to none, as you'll find out here. I'm here with Jane Holmes. We were so rudely interrupted by COVID last year, Jane. I mean...
Wow.
Are you the Director of Education for the Iditarod? Are you the Iditarod Director of Education? What's your official title?
I am the Director of Education for the Iditarod Trail Committee.
God, that sounds so official.
Doesn't it?
What does it mean?
It means that I have the distinct privilege of overseeing a lot of other teachers that do a lot of work to produce and run programming based around the Iditarod as a theme in the classroom.
Okay.
It's more fun than anything.
To tell teachers what to do?
No, I mean, because it's about the Iditarod. I mean, it is a lot of work, but it's something I have fun doing.
What is the main purpose that your job requires? I mean, I know you have a lot of responsibilities. You do a lot. I get it, but...
Well, I just talked to the education department in general. Our mission is to provide free, no-cost resources, tools, lessons, activities for teachers of all grade levels and areas to use in their classrooms as a vehicle for teaching whatever curriculum they already have in place. So if it's math or reading or social studies or language arts, if it's kindergarten or high school, once they weave the theme of the Iditarod into it, it becomes that much more engaging and inspiring for learners. So they're getting done what they need to do and everyone's having fun with it.
You know, every time I talk to you, it grows.
Oh, yeah.
You can have the University of Iditarod.
Well, we have a university project going on right now, which is new from last year, which is very exciting. The Idaho Sled Dog Challenge reached out to us to work together on some things, and one of them being a teacher education credit class through the University of Idaho, which is we're working on getting together to launch in October of 2023.
Gosh, every time I see you, it's just something new and exciting. And we'll get into more of the far-reaching educational aspects of the Iditarod because it's truly an amazing thing. But I want to go back just a little bit because the last time you and I were going to try to work together, we were going to do a Big Alaska Show at the Lakefront Hotel to kick off your conference or part of the conference.
Yes, we were.
Wouldn't you know, the night before, people had tested for COVID and everything just...
Yeah, kind of came to a screeching halt. That is for sure. Our friend Rona came to visit.
In looking back, give us an assessment, in looking back at 2022 and the Iditarod, what are some of the things that stand out?
I mean, even though that happened and infected a small group of people, I think overall, the race and the conference prior to that last day... we were excited to be back in person. We were excited to have the race going back to Nome. There was a lot of recovery from the prior year. So I think just a sense of normalcy is what stands out most in my mind, actually.
Normalcy became almost abnormal. That is so cool. I was catching some of your little blogs and stuff like that of what you're up to. And I know you covered a lot of ground. We all know that you're busy during the Iditarod. Does it ever slow down for you after the Iditarod's over?
For the education department, it does a little bit. We push out our last newsletters for the school year. We get the trail mail back into the hands of the teachers that ordered trail mail to go down the trail. We have, by the end of the school year, selected the next year's teacher on the trail. And this year's teacher on the trail, Julie, will be handing off the torch to the next person by that time. We try to stay active in like our presence at the state fair or other activities where we can, the Musher Volunteer Sign-Up Picnic, anywhere where we can have a presence and promote the education. Last year, we had a starting line webinar in August because we wanted teachers to know that they don't have to wait until January or February to get started using the Iditarod. There are programs and activities and lessons that can be used all year long, which are is even better because their kids have a strong background knowledge and they can go deeper in, into the race and deeper into the skills.
Speaking of the teacher on the trail, 2023, whom we have with us, would you be so kind and tell us a little bit about Julie Jane and introduce her to us?
Yeah, I'll be brief and Julie can tell you more about herself, but she was a finalist in last year's conference here in Anchorage, and she went through all of the process of presenting and working the conference and volunteering and going through interviews. And so early in April, she was contacted with a phone call about, hey, we'd really like you to be our next teacher on the trail if you're interested. And she accepted the position and she has been working her husky tail off ever since.
I'll tell you, man. Let's give Julie Westrich a warm Big Alaska Show welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. What I was hoping when she said, would you still be interested after, how many times did you have to come up here?
So I came out to Alaska just once, but it was for about 9 days.
Okay.
So I was there for about a full week before the actual start of the Iditarod and then didn't leave till the Monday afternoon afterwards. So I got to see the ceremonial start, the restart, be part of the education conference, really got to be all in on all things Iditarod for that kind of finalist time frame, seeing if this was a good fit.
How much did you have to do to qualify for being a finalist of the teacher on the trail?
So I had a bit of a kind of interesting story is that the finalists at, or the teacher on the trail applications are due the beginning of December. And I actually applied in the fall of 2020, right in the thick of it when education was really struggling. And due to the factors around the race in the spring of 2021, they actually rolled over our applications. So I had to wait a whole extra year. It was well worth the wait. But the initial application process, I think it ended up being about a 25-page application. You know, a lot of scenarios, a lot of background information, which just put your best foot forward out there and be honest about who you are. And I guess it worked because they asked me to come up and be a finalist. And then as a finalist, as I said, it was, you know, and Jane mentioned, it was interviews and challenges and presentations at the conference. And I volunteered as a dog handler and also volunteered in the communications. So had some really amazing kind of hands-on experiences while I was up there.
That's why I was hoping you'd say to Jane, which is, would you still be interested? You should have gone, I'm thinking.
I think it was more of, are you serious? You really want me? And then I did some squealing and some excited screams.
She was driving when I called her and she made sure she pulled over and parked the car before I continued speaking because she knew because she got a phone call, she kind of knew what the request was going to be. So she stopped her car and was safely parked.
Yes.
Well, good for you. That's funny. I was expecting you to say, are you sitting down? Well, yes, I am. Not considering she was actually driving. Julie, tell us a little bit about your background. What do you teach? Where are you from? Who are you?
I am a elementary school librarian. I teach kindergarten to third grade in the West Rondaquoit Central School District, which is a suburb of Rochester, New York. But I came to education in a little bit of a different route. I got my first degree is in museum education, so non-traditional learning environments, object and inquiry-based learning, and I did that for a very long time, more than a decade, teaching preschool at the Rochester Museum and Science Center, which is where I first started using the Iditarod in my classrooms. And then about 7 years ago, made the switch to the library and the public school system. And I have about 900 kids that I see every 6 days. So I have a broad reach. I don't get to spend a ton of time with them, but I get to see a lot of them. And, you know, we are all in on Iditarod for all of our classes this year. They are supporting me and encouraging me.
Well, that's so cool. What's your favorite subject?
For me, history. I'm a social studies history kind of person, which would be my choice of study, but anything where you're learning and investigating and kind of discovering, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Julie was a natural fit for this position because there are a lot of things about Julie that we thought were great fit. She's an excellent writer. She works with media and library and has a good background with books. And literacy is very important for everyone, especially Alaskan. And she also has that really interesting public and museum education background that we thought would fit really well with. We have a lot of history and Native culture aspects of the Iditarod that we knew she would do a service for. So
yeah,
she brought to the table, she didn't just bring classroom experience, but she brought a wide variety of experiences, yes, and skills that are useful throughout the Iditarod in different ways that maybe we traditionally have in the past.
The fact is, as we all know, librarians can do anything.
Welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
Thanks for joining us in the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve, along with our co-host Mike Ford. We even talked to Jane Holmes, the Director of Education of the Iditarod Trail Committee, and the 2023 Teacher on the Trail, Julie Westrich. And this is part two of that interview. Let's talk about some of the exciting things going on right now. If you go to iditarod.com and go to the link on the menu, man, you have a lot of stuff there. Plus, you've got a conference coming up. Why don't we start with your conference? Because out of that is a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, there is. It's our second in-person conference since I've been working with the Iditarod in this capacity. So it's the week prior to the race. We're going to be having authors and teachers and veterinarians and past teachers on the trail and just a wide variety of topics and experiences. And we have a field trip day on March 1st where we're taking all everyone up to headquarters to see the pre-race veterinary checks. And then we're going to visit Martin Brewster's Happy Trails Kennels that afternoon. Friday, we have a speaker series at the lakefront, which is open to the public. We'll have Rob Erbach and Mark Nordman is there, as well as a representative from Race Communications and a veterinarian and a pilot. So that's almost kind of all set and ready to go. I'm going to say that and probably curse myself somehow, but that's going on. And the website, the main focus on our website right now is Julie and her lessons. And Julie, why don't you tell everyone like what you're posting and what they can look forward to once you get here as well?
Sure. So my plan this year, I've actually been posting since July. That's kind of when the start of my year of tenure as the teacher on the trail began. And I've been kind of taking a three times a month kind of spin on things where at the first of the month goes up a post that has some kind of ideas and tips and tricks for something short that you could do that would encourage that social emotional piece in the classroom, that area that we're all kind of seeing a bit of a deficit due to the time kids have spent out of school or in transitional situations due to COVID, and how we can kind of just improve and use the Iditarod really as that model for building some of those key social emotional skills. And then mid-month, like on the 10th, there is always a lesson plan. So, and I think I've been kind of all over the place. I had a lesson plan that was for PE classrooms about functional fitness and how much mushers may not be in the gym lifting weights or doing cardio workout, but just their daily lives require them, you know, to have such kind of fitness. So how could we integrate that into a PE lesson, all the way to math lessons about amount of daylight in different areas of the world, and obviously some great library lessons as well, because that's where I live and my wheelhouse, really comfortable there, but trying to branch out a little bit. And then at the end of the month, I've been trying to kind of do around the 20th a post that kind of hit some of those culturally responsive things about helping support identity and diversity. And the Editorod literally can fit into any area. It has so much to teach, and it's such a great hook to get kids excited about what they're learning. And I think one of the really cool things that I've been able to do with all the lessons that I've been putting up each month is to, it gives the students a real life example. It's not, oh, this is something that you will learn someday. It's actually, hey, these are skills that you would need in these real life situations under these circumstances. How can you apply it to what you're doing, you know, here in school, on the playground, those kind of things.
The teachers that we've talked to, the dogs are such a draw. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, I've got video of my wife. We went to Jeff King's kennels one time, and so Amy's got all the puppies. Quite strong little critters, aren't they, Julie?
They are, but they're so cute.
I know they are.
Yeah, you put a little picture of a puppy, and the kids are 100% all in. I've actually been doing a lesson all this week. The Editorod, one of the education programs they have is a quilt program. And I have one of the quilts. It travels all around the country and inspiring messages and teaching about the Editorod. And I've been working really hard to explain why this specific quilt piece is very important to me. It actually is Jane's quilt piece, and it has Jane's picture on it. And I have been explaining to them how it says live your dream, but when I see this picture, I see the person who is encouraging me and the person who is supporting me and the person who's answering my questions and helping me achieve my goal. And, you know, don't you have people behind you, like teachers and parents and that kind of thing? Yeah. And they're trying, I mean, they're doing a pretty good job. And I felt like this was a really great, come on, you guys, here's the person that's helping me. You have people that help you. And they're like, but there's a dog paw print on there. And that's the cool part.
Yeah, I don't really.
And I'm like, no, Jane's the cool part. That's it. Yes.
I always like to give educators the applause now that they so deserve, that they'll eventually get when we all look back and go, man, I'm glad I had her as my teacher. Teachers were extremely important in my life. So I've always been around educators. And like they say, if the craft is long and life is short, learn from those that are better. To your point, Julie, all the different kinds of educational aspects and outreach. When I look at Editorod.com in the education department, I see topics like teach and learn, students, I did a read, Zuma's canine journalists. Then there's also your post, Julie, that you've done, these little tutorials. And I mean, it's a learning experience that's just incredible. And I remember we did this with Brian Hickox. We asked him what were his expectations before he went on the trail. And then we had him back. We interviewed him a couple of years, 2 or 3 years later. And it was really interesting to hear his perspective and looking back on the total of the learning experience. So far, it looks like you've learned a lot, Julie.
I feel like it has been the experience of a lifetime for sure, in terms of making me a much better and more aware educator. And then now coming up in March, when the race starts, I get to do a lot of the things that I was able to participate in last year, but this time it gets real. And I will get to be an Iditarider at the ceremonial start and actually be in a sled for about 11 miles and then go out on the trail and actually be on the ground in these remote locations in Alaska that I have been teaching about and explaining about and sharing with, getting to actually see what these checkpoints look like and reporting back to teachers and educators everywhere on a daily basis, ideally internet permitting, everything that I'm seeing and observing. And I'll say, like, being up in last year, being at the conference, being able to volunteer and seeing, I was blown away by the number of people that contribute to and make this race possible. I think that would probably be when everyone said, you know, my biggest shock was the volunteers, how many of them, how dedicated they are, how devoted, where they come from everywhere. I was very surprised by that fact. And so now I'm kind of excited to see what that looks like all the way across the entire state.
I've always been impressed by the Iditarod Nation. Jane, you're always reluctant to tell me how many years ago it was you were the teacher on the trail, but you're a young punk.
No, I'm not at all reluctant. I was teacher on the trail in 2008. Yeah, when I was standing in the village of Nikolai, I said, I'm going to teach in remote Alaska someday. It completely changed my life. I mean, I'm probably more the exception than the rule, but I did end up moving here to Alaska and teaching in the bush, and now I get to work with the Iditarod.
You've been involved in this for a number of years, and you see a new teacher of the trail every year, but I get the sense it never gets old for you.
It is incredibly amazing and impressive each year with the applications that we get. And I would like to say just completing the application itself is deserving of laud and praise, because it took me 6 months after I put it off a year because I couldn't face the darn thing. It was so much to do.
It's daunting.
But this is what I've got to say. Educators out there are busting their humps. They are being creative. They are embracing new strategies. They are staying current, and they have the kids in their heart. And we see that every year with these applications and the teachers on the trail that bring things that we think, wow, we never knew there was something more new and different. But every year, our teacher on the trail brings something more new and different.
It's such an awesome thing. Just to reiterate now, we're rolling into pretty soon. It's going to be showtime, baby. It's coming up fast. Yeah. So I want to go back and reiterate when the conference is and who can attend that.
You know, it is an educators conference. So it's not that they have to check the box that says I am an educator to attend necessarily, but I think the interest would be highest for educators because the presentations are how you can take this information and use it in your classroom to teach what you need to teach. Alaskan educators have a special opportunity. They can attend one for one day only at a reduced rate because it's really difficult to get time off for an entire 3 or 4 days, you know. So Alaskan educators are welcome to attend Tuesday or Thursday or both of those days. We try to make sure we have it so that people who want to access it can somehow get there and participate.
And we'll post a link. Julie, I just want to say what a pleasure it is to meet you. We're big fans of education. So all your kids are going to be watching you, man. Will they be able to ask you questions?
So I will have a couple of Zooms set up with my kids back at home. You know, one of the great things is I will be about 4 hours time difference. So 7 a.m. in Alaska is already 11 o'clock for them. So we can do some early morning talks for me in Alaska, and they'll get to kind of have some updates on what it is that I've been up to, and they will be following along and checking out the GPS to see where I'm located. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, that life kind of lifelong education. One of the things that kind of inspired me to do Teacher on the Trail is it is so easy as an educator to look at my class and say, try hard things and you can do it if you try and reach outside your comfort zone as I sit in my rocking chair and read them a book.
Yeah.
But it definitely hits different when I say, try hard things. And guess what? I'm trying something really hard.
Yeah.
Here's a life example of what happens when you go outside your comfort zone and pretty amazing things happen.
When you become the student.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop. It's not going to stop when you finish second grade or fourth grade or 12th grade. You can keep doing things that will help you learn new things about the world and about yourself.
And Jane, that's something that has always impressed me about you, is that you still have that excitement, even though I know it's a lot of work. And as I tell Jane, it's a lot more fun to go to someone else's party. And I admire so much what you do and your passion for it. And boy, does it show. And this is growing. Are you getting people coming back again?
Oh, absolutely. Everything's growing. We've got new programs. And everyone that I work with, like Julie and all the other volunteer staff for the education department, work so hard outside of their regular teaching jobs and other things that they have, because we believe in it. Not only do we love it, but we believe in it. And we know and we've seen the power of the Iditarod theme to motivate learning. I mean, things are interesting. The Olympics are interesting and wonderful. The Lunar New Year is interesting and wonderful. Dinosaurs, super engaging, right, and fun. But I can guarantee you that nothing is as inspiring and motivating as the Iditarod Sled Dog Race in the classroom.
Absolutely.
And we want teachers to have it because it's helpful to them, not because we want everyone to know about the Iditarod. We want teachers to have this because we know it will work for them and they need it.
You are heroes. You do so much for our community and things that people carry the rest of their lives. And that's such a gift. Now, what do they call you? Ms. Westrich? What do they call
you? Yes. Mrs. Westrich is what I called, although I was told by some lovely second graders that they would like to call me the queen of the Iditarod. And then they spoke up and said, no, you're the most beautiful queen of the Iditarod. And I said, I will take that.
Yeah, right. Listen, I
am not going to say no.
So, Jane, is there anything else we should cover?
Well, there's a lot out there. Like you said, I just would encourage them to keep up with Julie and her posting. It's going to be regular and it's going to be in the moment. And it's going to be interesting to everyone, teacher or not. So that's iditarod.com/edu. And also, there's always the Insider Video subscription service, which is the live coverage and live stream of race events, which keeps you there seeing what's going on as it's going on as well.
Jane, it's always good to see you again. And thanks for taking time. And
appreciate you reaching out and keeping contact with us all the time. We really do.
Julie, welcome to Alaska. Welcome to the Big Alaska Show, because, you know, we're the Iditarod Nation and the Iditarod.com has tons of viewers. We refer to our viewership as not small, but elite.
Well, I am happy to be part of it.
Congratulations for the Teacher on the 12th, 2023. Let's give Julie Westrich and Jane Holmes a Big Alaska Show thank you and continued success.
Hi, this is Uncle Steve for the Big Alaska Show. On behalf of co-host Mike Ford and me, we'd like to thank you for taking time to listen to our commercial-free podcast. That's right. Other than the billboards at the beginning of each segment that say, brought to you by Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts, from purchase to window installation, visit Alaska's Best, Neighbors Windows and Doors, 6251 Tuttle, or visit neighborswindowsanddoors.com, but other than that, completely commercial-free. Besides, our Big Alaska Show listeners are discerning, smart people. We know where they'd go if they had any need whatsoever for, let's say, windows, doors, shower doors, or glass. Nope. Commercial free, we say. Because our listeners deserve respect. To do anything less would be the workings of flawed, desperate men of character who will do anything for a buck.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
Uncle Steve here at the Big Alaska Show, along with co-host Mike Ford. We've been talking about the education that comes from the Iditarod, especially the sciences. Of course, for Mike Ford and me, that means our science guy, Dr. Gordon Snyder, who shares scientific tidbits to help us understand and appreciate more of the world that surrounds us. Education is a major aspect of the Iditarod, and care for the dogs is a major focus, and the science behind it has grown exponentially. Our science guy, Dr. Gordon Snyder, always comes up with some scientific subject of interest to help us better appreciate our Alaskan world around us. Please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Dr. Gordon Snyder.
Hi, guys.
Hey, before we get started, Steve and Mary, they talk about you. They want to do a segment with you. They couldn't make it today, but I'm sending you their regards. And
okay. Yeah, we'll get it worked out.
They want to be part of the show. I'm not sure exactly what they mean by that, but
no, maybe they can applaud.
Yeah, really, it's our
audience.
They can bring the ice cream from the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, there you go. If they had one, it has to. You have to get ice cream out of Fuzzy's bar.
So anyway, they send their regards, and okay, they'll love enough. Hearing their name. So anyway, we want to talk about dog paws. Mike Ford is going to be calling the World Championship dog sled races. What do you know about dog paws, Mike?
About dog paws?
Dog paws.
You got to take care of them. You got to boot them up when there's when it gets icy. And that's like little razors going to the canine's paws. So you got to make sure they're covered and all squared away. It's a different situation for the dogs that race the sprint races as opposed to, you know, your Iditarod dogs. Although the way back, a lot of those dogs were bred pretty much the same kennels, but they went in a different direction. They kind of went down one trail and the other went down the other trail. Both breeds need to have their paws well taken care of.
I think that's a lengthy explanation that is not completely satisfactory to me.
Oh, come on. What Mike said is exactly right. It's just not all they stuffed.
That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly right. Yeah. No, the whole concept of the booties, everybody thinks is to keep the feet warm, the paws warm, where in reality, it's really to keep the mechanical abrasion, like Mike said, to keep the pads in good shape and to keep them from getting cut or just abraded down. The other problem is the little fur that's between each of the pads gets iced up, and then you end up carrying these big clumps of ice between the dog toes, and that can subsequently make the dog's foot get swollen, go lame. So the other objective is to keep their paws ice free. So a lot of people think they're on there to keep their paws warm, but it's mostly the mechanical advantages against the snow and the freezing between their paws.
After they go and get the mani-pedi on their, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you go online and you look at some of the dog booties that are available, the ones for the Iditarods are these tough mountaineering looking things. But if you go further into the city dog booties, you can find some that look like Air Jordans. A little muttly. So, you know, that takes care of that idea. The other things I wanted to sort of mention to you is that there's a unique adaption in their pads. And that's where there's a problem when your foot, like your foot, is on the ice. The arteries bringing the fresh blood supply from your heart to your feet, that blood goes down an artery and it's all nice and warm from the core of your body, gets out to your toes and it cools off because that's where it's really cold, right? So the return of the blood comes back in veins. And in most cases, the artery goes down one area and the vein goes down the other. And so there's no heat exchange. But to keep these pads from getting frozen, there's a remarkable thing called countercurrent heat exchanger. And what that is essentially the artery with the warm blood is flowing down, and through evolution, et cetera, the return vein is right next to the artery. So that when it's going to the foot, it helps warm the returning blood so it doesn't cool down the core of the dog and the body and makes them that way. So that way they deliver warmer blood to the paws. And then by returning the blood back to the heart, it doesn't go back as cold because it's being warmed by the incoming warm flow. So that's called countercurrent heat exchanger. I actually do that on my water system at the cabin, where I have the hot water circulating out through all the pipes and the cold water return is right in the insulation with the hot water. So I just have a little 15 watt circulation pump running, and the hot water heater keeps all the cold water lines from freezing. So they've done the same thing in their paws.
And you called it a countercurrent
heat exchanger. Countercurrent, that means the artery's taking warm blood one way and the veins are bringing it another way. So it's a countercurrent. Okay. Like in my hot water heater example, the hot water pipe goes out to the farthest faucet and then turns around and it returns to the hot water tank in the cold water line. See? So
of course, all the pros refer to it as the CCHE, right?
I guess that's it. This was something that veterinarians called it. So,
well, you know, I kept thinking of it was a one-eyed, one-armed, flying purple people eater.
Yeah, there you go.
Mike Ford, how much liquid do you think a sled dog should have per day?
Oh, my goodness. Probably, I'll go 20 gallons.
Oh, no, 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 no. 20 gallons is like, you know, 4 or 5 gallon jugs. That's bigger than the body. 4 or 5 quarts, you mean, Mike?
Of course. That's what I meant. Of course. That's right.
Yeah. Well, you're close with that. The stuff that I found is, and again, focusing in on water, which we all have to do. During the races and during the very end in the active training, the sled dogs, they try to run them with about 6 quarts of water a day. Okay. And as they run the race, there are veterinarians at each of the checkpoints. You guys know this. And as the dogs come in and get settled in, a vet goes by and checks each dog sled and each dog to see if they're properly hydrated, because that's one of the basic ways of hurting the dog and causing more catastrophic problems. So there's two real simple ways to check if a dog is dehydrated. Number one, it's kind of like, you know, where their shoulders are back behind their collar. Mm-hmm. If you pull that skin up and hold it up and then release it, if it comes down like that, it's properly hydrated. If it sticks up there and comes down slowly, then it's not properly hydrated. Mm-hmm. And the other thing you do is you check inside there under their jowls and mm-hmm. check their gums to make sure that they're moist and not sticky. And you can take and press on the gum, pull your finger away, and if it turns white, that means the blood circulation is there. It turns white, and it comes back to the pinkish color. So if those things are there, that's your quick and dirty check to see if the dog is properly hydrated. So now, here's the part that I know Steve will like. If your dog is properly hydrated at 6 quarts of water per day, okay, now there are, what we calculate here, 36 sled dog teams. Okay. So that's 540 dogs are going to run this 2-week race course, right? That's 6 quarts a day. Okay. That gives you 45,000 quarts of water or 11,000 gallons of yellow snow predicted water. Oh, so man. We're going to have 11,000 gallons of additional yellow snow along the Iditarod.
Mike, you've heard the saying, Eureka? This will be urea.
So, you know, that's an interesting little thought. The other side of it is, if you think about the little bottles of water you drink when you're out and about, those are what, pints to quarts? Well, you're going to have 45,000 of those quarts all along that much water, all along the race. So they have to have the water supply there so that they can create the proper amount of yellow snow. And at some point, we'll talk about how yellow snow relates to pink snow. And we'll leave that as a teaser.
This is why we bring you on, because I still remember the time you talked about when you did stuff for NASA. And one of the things that at that time, they ejected their urine. When they peed, they ejected out of the capsule.
Yeah, when they were first doing spaceflight capsules.
And tell Mike what happened.
Well, as they were flying along at mega thousands of miles per hour, and so everything's up in a vacuum, and if you release 2 quarts of human urine from the spacecraft, once it got outside the spacecraft, guess how fast it was going?
Same speed.
So then the urine would coat the spacecraft. And if they did an EVA, an outside walk with their spacesuits on, well, the urine is still traveling at the same speed they are. So then the spacesuits brought in to the capsule the urine that was floating along outside. Yellow snow problem everywhere.
And so basically, they peed on themselves.
Well, with that little help of a vacuum and many, 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 many thousands of miles.
Yeah.
So as things developed and these habitats got more and more useful, then obviously that's where the water capturing and recirculation and reclamation came in. That's what I worked on, but that was another story for another day.
We're bringing you back again because I know we'll have more to talk about snow, because that's exactly what nobody wants to talk about here. We've gotten so much of it, but we'll talk more about that on a different topic. So our Dr. Gordon Snyder, once again, does his tutorial.
Yacht, paws, and water. They all go together.
Absolutely.
See you guys later.
so that's our show. If you want to immerse yourself with the locals in Alaska, the Fur Rondi and the Iditarod is what's happening right now. Be sure to go to furrondi.net and iditarod.com. You'll get insight into what makes Alaska so unique that brings people like Jane Holmes and Julie Westrich, maybe from New York. But as the 2023 teacher on the trail, Julie is Alaskan through and through. And to my baby girl, love you. And Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve. We want to thank John, Jane, Julie, and Gordon for joining us. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle, or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And Alaska Enterprise Solutions, they're your authorized Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your tooth, tall Alaska tales, it's gotta be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everyone.